Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, friends, great to have you with us as we begin a new broadcast week. Political Coffee, pardon me. I just was reading a very dangerous bit of legislation that was forwarded to me by a friend. We'll get into that. I hadn't anticipated talking about it, but it goes hand in hand with talking about Shamia Fagan and exactly where she is intending to take the power, shall we say, of the Secretary of State's office. And it's all meant to intimidate you and your free speech, my free speech, or anybody involved in the political process. It's that intimidation that has forced journalist Andy Ngo to leave Portland because of death threats. Why? Well, because he wrote a book about unmasking Antifa. So they're trying to kill him. They're threatening him. Here's a gay Vietnamese conservative who's written a book, and they're going after him. Where's the FBI? Are they looking into that? Are they looking into the death threats Christina Mollymon's gotten? Because her and her mother were arrested for a curfew violation because they were still on the Capitol grounds praying. Not even in the Capitol building. And Willamette Week does a hit piece on her and she gets death threats. And then you get the Oregonian editorial about mainstream Republicans. Where are your voices? When you want to talk about misinformation? How about the Oregon Catalyst, by the way, is a great piece about decoding the fibs, the little white lies in Kate Brown's State of the State speech. We're going to talk about all of that here in a momento. I do want to thank Freedom Heating and Air. You know, they're one of our great Salem-based companies, been around here for a long time in Salem because they do a good job taking care of their customers. That means they benefit you. Because, you know, when you need them, they're there. They have great emergency services. You know, we've got some, maybe we have a little bit of snow coming. Who knows, over the next couple of days, it's going to be pretty cold. And you know, if that furnace or that heat pump is not keeping up, you're not very comfortable at home. So why don't you call Freedom Heating and Air? They can help you fix that. Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. freedomheatingandair.net. They're also one of our great sponsors of the Freedom Celebration. I want to invite you to come and join us. I would love to meet all of you. And I mean that. I cannot tell you how grateful I am when those of you who listen to this show take the time to call, to write emails to me at jeff@1220.am or jeff@kslm.news, either one, and give me your thoughts. I sometimes don't have time to read them all. Not all of you appreciate me or like me because I get some really interesting emails from time to time. But I'm grateful, as all of us are at the radio station, the owners, Don and Cindy Wyant, and in your patronage of these fine businesses that spend money running this radio station, you know, advertising on this radio station, so that you can hear not just my show, but you can hear all the other great conservative talk shows that are on this station. So I would love to meet all of you, and I mean that. And if you want to come to the Freedom Celebration, we can do just that. It's this Sunday, the 31st, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we are going to be celebrating and thanking and honoring the people that keep us free. Law enforcement. I mean, we need them. Believe me, when you call 911 and you need a cop, you want them to show up, whether it's the Marion County Sheriff's Office or City of Salem, Oregon State Police. You want them to be there. When you've got somebody having a medical issue, you want to call Salem Fire and you need them to show up. We want to thank them because they make our lives possible to live free. The military, National Guard. And the National Guard just did so much for us this year. I know I'm taking a long time to talk about this, folks, but when I just cannot tell you how important it is that we say thank you to these people. You know how many guardsmen and women that called away from their lives to go up and help with the fires? That's what they do. And we're blessed to have them. Active duty military, and certainly our veterans. We're going to honor them all and thank them for giving so much so that we can be free. And frankly, we want to thank some of the politicians that take a stand, that are willing to walk out and stop really bad things from happening. I mean, are willing to stand up and write legislation that says no to the bill I'm going to talk to you about now. This is House Bill 2908, sponsored by a bunch of Democrats, House and Senate. What it does, it gives the Secretary of State of Oregon massive new powers to intimidate you and to fine you based on complaints. What this does, and again, it's House Bill 2908. It says that the Secretary of State shall, which means it's mandatory. So you got to do it. Shall examine the records or the accounts of political committees and petition committees. So if you're a candidate, you have a political action committee, or you could be Oregon Right to Life. No, there wouldn't be any intimidation there, would it? Or a petition committee. Maybe you are out there petitioning to recall Kate Brown or maybe Shamia Fagan. Now she gets new powers to look into your committee. Selected at random, of course. Oh, but there's another section that it covers the complaint process. Not that there would ever be any complaints from the other side. Anyway, it gives her the right by a writ of mandamus from a court to say, hey, we get to look at your bank accounts and other documentation the secretary determines necessary to successfully conduct an examination. Oh, like maybe your personal emails, maybe your text messages, maybe your phone logs. And it may be enforced by a judge's order. And it starts 3 months before, and then it says, well, if there's discrepancies that we find, that you didn't file everything accurately and timely, we get to go back and look 2 years prior to that. Folks, you want to talk about what is dangerous? This is dangerous to your freedom. Oh, and it gives Shamia Fagan the ability. The Secretary of State sort of has this now anyway, or the Attorney General, to impose civil penalties against a person that fails to timely provide access to bank accounts and other things. This is all very dangerous, folks. All very dangerous. And at least it doesn't have an emergency clause on it yet, which means it cannot be referred to the voters. This is dangerous to liberty, folks. Because apparently there's so much skullduggery and behind-the-scenes things. Why don't they just go to the next level? Which they won't do because it would hurt Democrats. You know what that next level is? The next level is just saying, hey, you know what? Anybody who contributes to a C3 or a C4 in the state of Oregon has to tell us who it is. Because right now, under federal law, that's prohibited. Yeah, that information cannot be released legally, anyway. That's the next step. You wait. Except maybe they don't quite go there. Because you see, there are C3s and C4s that hide dark money, as they like to call it, from their donors. But my guess is over time, they're probably going to start enacting these things because they are going to get more arrogant and more out of control because they think that nobody's going to hold them accountable and that they, by virtue of bills like this that give more power to a Secretary of State to intimidate others. I mean, we've already seen the intimidation of Kate Brown, right? As she went after Lindsey Graham in the Glamour Salon. She's going after John Miller, courthouse fitness clubs. It's the heavy hand of government, of the bureaucracy, extended to slap down people for political reasons. Now, if Kate Brown's doing it, why would we want to give more power to Secretary of State Shamia Fagan to do that? Because apparently there are all these violations. It's just horrible what's going on in Oregon. And we got to have this new law. Because people are just not complying. Really? This is why we get together and we celebrate freedom. Because every time we do that, we stand up for what we believe. And it's encouraging and it's hopeful. I'll share this with you before we go to the 7:20 break. Last night, actually yesterday afternoon, I went to a prayer group locally, just praying for politics, praying for this country. And one of the people shared how important it was to have hope by coming together with fellow believers to pray for the country. Because during the week, she's not very hopeful. Something to think about. It's 7:20, back in a moment with your phone call.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour, or you can send me an email to jeff at 1220.am or jeff at kslm.news. Got an email from Dale saying, here's an example of Democrat hypocrisy. Shamia Fagan, a civil rights attorney, wants to censor our free speech. Wonder what would happen if complaints were filed with the American Bar Association or the Oregon Bar Association. good point. Tim writes in emails that actions of our federal legislators, we seldom address the actions of our federal legislators. Why aren't they accountable? What actions have or have not taken? Persuade the persuadable. How do we persuade the federal legislators? Well, generally speaking, federal legislators really just work by one dictum, if you will, rule. You know what it is? It's what Everett Dirksen said. I see the light when I feel the heat. When we put more fear into the hearts and the minds of our legislators, and including federal legislators, take, for instance, Kurt Schrader, okay? You know, Kurt Schrader voted against impeachment. Good for him. I think he did. I think that's right. And he was hugely, hugely just raked over the coals for that. Now, he's a smart guy politically because he knows he's in a very tenuous district, the 5th Congressional District. Could go either way. But if you want to get him to see the light, he's got to feel heat. What ought to be happening is that virtually everybody who doesn't vote for Kurt Schrader should be contacting his office regularly. You know what? And I can tell you from painful experience, when you're getting organic, very obviously organic stuff thrown at you from a lot of people, you know something's going on out there and you better pay attention. That's why the heat is so important. They see the light when they feel the heat. Let's go back to Glenn. Glenn, you're back with us.
Yeah, because about Fagan, she was in the Senate in the 2008 when you were there. Was she also serving in the building?
No, she came into the House long after I left, served, I think, a couple of terms in the House, left, and then she took on a moderate Democrat in the primary and beat him because just like she did with Mark Cass for the Secretary of State's office in the Democrat primary, she got the unions to fund the campaign because she does whatever they want.
Well, when you were in there in early 2000s, correct?
Yes.
Were you there when they were passing all the Green Deal for all the solar that was going to come when Obama flew in from Washington, D.C. and did the big Ramadan here at the convention center? Were you part of in the House at that time?
I don't think so. I think that happened right after I left. My term ended in January of 2007.
Because
I think that happened right after that.
Us, the people of Oregon, put $40 million plus probably another $20 million in that building in Salem that was Panasonic that closed last September. That was part of the Green New Deal, you know. And then Solar World.
Yeah.
How many mega millions went into that? That's all closed down. And now they want a Green New Deal again, right? Yeah, makes
they
good
do.
Sense, don't it?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's so if it failed once and it failed twice, let's do it again.
Jeff, where does all that money go that's lost? What does the state do to cover all those losses? That $70 million just on the Panasonic.
They raise taxes on us.
So the taxpayers take the loss.
Of course.
And they don't say anything to you.
Of course.
How do I get a chance to go to a hearing and ask them the hard questions?
Well, you got to sign up online because you can only do online hearings. Because the Constitution says you have to have the right to present to testify in front of a committee and, you know, they've interpreted that with their lawyers to say, yeah, well, you know, you don't have to physically be there. You can just do it by Zoom.
Well, maybe I can get Peter Courtney to speak on my behalf for me when I laid $280 million worth of evidence on his table, which led to some vehicles leaving the state capitol going to beautiful downtown Hillsboro. Maybe he'd like to talk about that one.
Well, you should ask him. You should ask him. He is Senate president. You know, he has the ability to do that.
I know. I'm in his district. They follow me around the building when I come in. They don't like me going to his office.
Okay. You have a reputation, apparently. You know, Rebecca's got that reputation, too, you know. Well deserved, of course.
We're going to get censored. Well, thanks anyway. It's critical information, though.
Well, it is.
It's such a big lie. It's billions and billions of dollars of lies, and they don't want to bring it back up again, but I'm willing to. Plus the carbon material used. We should outlaw carbon material here in Oregon. That would shut down every semiconductor fab, including Intel, in 48 hours. Carbon material. You know, their carbon deal.
Oh, that's too good. Yeah, no.
The landfills here in Oregon are full of millions of tons of carbon material that's illegal in Oregon.
All right, Glenn, thanks. I appreciate it. It's 7:29. We'll be back in a moment. I want to get into this Oregonian editorial that just doesn't understand how you and I could not believe all the stuff about the election and that we're just out of touch. Really? Talk about that on the other side. 7:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. I want to thank ProBioscience. It's a great Salem company that makes CBD products that make my life better. And some of you who have purchased products from them agree also, because you continue to reorder. You know, the great thing about doing business with them is not only are they based right here in Salem, but they use only Oregon-grown CBD, and they guarantee that you're getting everything that they say you're getting that's on the label. Why don't you check out all their great products? Maybe you can benefit from their pain stick like I do. Certainly the tincture that I take before I go to bed most nights, and I sleep better because of it. Check them out on the web. It's pro-bioscience.com. Pro-bioscience.com. And even if you're someone who's in a sensitive position and you are drug tested, they have CBD products that do not show up on a drug test. Check it out. Again, go to pro-bioscience.com or give them a call. And if you buy anything online, use the discount code New Year for the month of January. And you get 15% off. Plus, they have a great loyalty rewards program. Pro-bioscience.com. Got an email from another Rich. Morning, Jeff. In my daily travels, I've noticed a lot of cars in front of the adult video store, and that made me wonder why they are allowed to be open when sit-down restaurants can't. Also, the new policies signed during the first week of the new regime have been a disaster for working Americans. He's really talking about what Joe Biden's done and killing a lot of union jobs in construction having to do with energy production. In fact, one of the, I think the Ute Indian tribes wrote a very strong letter to Joe Biden saying, look, you have said that tribal lands cannot continue to do drilling for gas and oil. We think that that's wrong. You probably wouldn't know that because I doubt if anybody is talking about it. Got an email from another state employee who shall not be named regarding the recall of Fagan. Below are comments I sent your way on December 30th and 7th. I certainly haven't changed my mind on any of it. And she says, you know, we need to restore election integrity in Oregon. Can we take another shot at the recall for governor? Maybe the third try will be the charm. Maybe someone other than Bill Currier should lead the charge. Might as well get started with the recall of Fagan as well. We need a full review of Oregon's election systems, including a comprehensive audit of the 2020 mail-in ballots, signatures, verification of whether voters were legal citizens still living at the time they voted, as well as a forensic audit of ballot counting and tabulation systems. In Arizona-style volunteer canvassing of the state to confirm validity of voters and their addresses sounds like a great idea. And yes, we intend to continue with that. By the way, Michael Cross's claim about the security update that had not been done. In fact, I have the article up here. It's a Statesman Journal article from what's the date of this article? This article was November 9th of this year, of last year. Okay. And towards the bottom of the article, it says, Trout said, and I'm quoting from the article, he received no election security updates from the technology department for the 2020 election until, get this, and this is what Michael Cross said. And I asked him, where's the verification of it? And finally, it comes from this Statesman Journal article. Get this, until, the article says, 7:52 on election night. Now, let's stop for a moment here. 8 minutes before the polls close in Oregon, the state's Internet Technology Department, the Secretary of State's Internet Technology Department, came and did a security update 8 minutes before the polls close. Now, it's my understanding, and I have to get the statute here, but it's my understanding here. In fact, I'll just read it to you, folks. This would have violated either the rule or state law having to do with the centralized voter registration system. Election tabulators are tested a week in advance of the election and on the morning before they start counting ballots. If the state changes their programming on election night or to any tabulator or the state elections computer that accumulates the totals, it violates state law, folks. So here's the guy who was the state elections director who got fired for bringing this to light 8 minutes before. Now, who's going to be held accountable for this? Who ordered the IT department that works for the Secretary of State to come in and do a security update? Probably wasn't Steve Trout, who got fired for even talking about it. Talking about how the system is so old, the software, it's 2008 Windows. It's so old that Windows doesn't support it anymore. You want to talk about open to hacking. At any rate, I think a federal lawsuit here is in order. Not a state lawsuit, but a federal lawsuit, because this affected federal elections for the presidency, for members of Congress. This is a big deal, folks. So also is the Oregonian editorial that I started to get into. It's about, where are the mainstream Republican voices? And they talk about the resolution that the Oregon Republican Party sent out which they say is embracing alarmist rhetoric and conspiracy theories that are rendering the Oregon Republican Party more and more irrelevant. Really? So, you know, they say that the party ceded the 2020 attorney's race to the Democrats and put up a weak nominee, as they described Kim Thatcher, for Secretary of State. And then they go after the two unmerited recall efforts of Governor Kate Brown. That surprisingly, unsurprisingly, went nowhere. Or that Republican lawmaker staged four walkouts in 2 years. See, the Oregonian editorial board, which, by the way, you know their edit. Did you know that they don't have an editorial board in Oregon? Did you know that? Yeah, they got an editor. But apparently these editorials are written in some other state. I would submit to you that Republican lawmakers who walked out four times in 2 years did benefit Oregonians because it stopped the loss of Second Amendment rights. It stopped forced vaccinations. And it stopped an incredibly economically damaging, especially to the rural areas of this state, a carbon tax bill. And some, for some reason, the editors of the Oregonian, which don't live here, by the way, just can't seem to understand that. And then they talk about a poll. Well, they talk about the resolution that condemned the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump. And then they, for inciting the insurrection at the Capitol. And then they talk about a poll that was taken. And it's an NPR PBS NewsHour poll. And I have it in front of me. That was 1,173 adults, of which only 1,012 were actually registered voters. Oh, and by the way, the people polled were 33% Democrat, 26% Republican, and 38% Independent. And yes, the conclusion was what you would expect from a poll that slanted in that manner. The editorial board of the, such as it exists, that the Oregonian, or that the Oregon Republican Party's resolution censuring the 10 Republicans, and that believing in the conspiracy theories that apparently 50 million Americans do, that this election was stolen because there is undeniable evidence of it that these people apparently can't see. That they have to start with a common base of facts. Recognizing Trump's role in the January 6th insurrection should not be a difficult place to start. Trump's role? What did he say, Oregonian editorial board? What did he say that incited a quote-unquote insurrection? Oh, and by the way, Oregonian editorial board, have you looked at the timeline put out by the Washington Post? Huh? You know that timeline that says, well, actually, the perimeter of the Capitol was being breached while Trump was still talking. So apparently we are to believe the Oregonian editorial board's leftist narrative that while Trump was speaking, he had previously, before he said anything, it apparently incited a whole bunch of people and they were attacking the Capitol. This is why it's called a fish wrapper. Back in a moment with Ron and Kathy. Don't go away. It's 7:48. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the phones here in a moment. I want to thank Eric Azar, Righteous Renovations, for being one of the great sponsors of not only just this radio show, but KSLM. You never know about the contractors that you're doing business with if you haven't done business with one before. Or maybe you have and you're not satisfied with him. You want to try somebody else. Well, you should try Eric Azar at Righteous Renovations. Go to his website, look at the pictures of the work they've done before and after, and then read the very satisfied comments of their customers. If you need some work done on your home, a kitchen remodel, bathroom remodel, or just other work, they are your people. RighteousRenovations.com. RighteousRenovations.com. Oregon Taxpayers, or Taxpayer Association of Oregon, has decoding the little white lies, the little fibs in Governor Brown's State of the State speech that kicked off the 2021 legislature. My proposed budget, she quote, doesn't put enough money into our schools, unquote. Okay, Kate, well, I guess the first question is, so why doesn't it? I mean, you're governor, you can propose a budget, so why don't you put more money in? This is despite the fact that as the Taxpayer Association article reminds us that in 2019, the legislature enacted the largest tax increase in Oregon's history, the gross receipts tax, $1.3 billion that goes exclusively to schools. And the year before that, she raised taxes on small businesses by almost $250 billion to help fund schools. So they asked the question, so what's government doing with the funds the taxpayers already gave to the schools? It's called PERS backfill. That's what it is. Let's go to Ron. Ron, good morning.
You need to verify something for me, brother.
What's that?
Can you tell me that did our Republican Party did go up there and limb-based our 10 brave souls out there in D.C.? Can you verify that for me, or is that just propaganda from the fish wrapper?
No, the resolution of the Oregon Republican Party specifically named those 10 members of the Republican caucus and the states they're from. I'm looking at it.
So they named them, but my main question is this. If they've gone through and rebuked them, if that's what our party did, please tell me no.
Well, here's what the resolution says, that we condemn the betrayal by the following 10 Republican members of Congress who voted lockstep with Nancy Pelosi to support a second sham impeachment.
Right.
That's what they said.
All right. They basically slapped them on the petard and saying, hey, you should sign, you know, stay behind our people, not go through and backstab us. Okay, yeah, the McCains and all that other trash. I just want to get a clarification on that.
But other than they that, also brother, thank Cliff Bentz.
It's sad. Yeah, Cliff Bentz, yes.
Yeah, they thanked him, and they acknowledged that Kurt Schrader, Democrat, described the second impeachment as a lynching, even though he had to recant that.
Well, you know, clock is right twice a day. But the thing is this, I'll even give Kurt a little credit on it. I mean, he does once every 100 years, does something good. But overall, people, we got to stand up. This communistic crap that they're going, using the propagandists, and yes, we did it. I mean, the whole problem with the Republican Party is Dennis Richardson, God bless his soul, had a backbone. He went into the heart of Portland. He went into the heart of Eugene. And he got the people because he learned that you cannot be afraid and walk away from who you are, what you got to be to get elected.
No, and that's exactly right, and that's
Kim
why
Thatcher,
we need to hold.
I love Kim Thatcher, and the main point is this, is that the same mentality of East Coast mindset people, her campaign manager and mindset, didn't help. And you can't be prideful. You got to love everybody, and you got to go into the lion's den, just like Jesus did against the Sanhedrin. Or
and you got to use issues and not be afraid to use the issues in a controversial way to really make an impact. Thanks, Ron. Good news, by the way. Gateway Pundit is reporting that three of the 10 pro-impeachment Republicans already have primary opponents. And then there's another story that says President Trump is drafting an enemies list of dirtbag Republicans to primary and is moving forward with plans to create the Patriot Party for the people. I'm fully in favor, as you know, of the primarying him or primarying the Republicans who voted in favor of his sham impeachment. But I'm not in favor of a new party that just guarantees Democrat control forever. Let's go back to Kathy. Kathy?
Hey, Kathy. Hi. Channel 2 ran a story this weekend about there's a push to have our primaries open to both parties and independents. And Salem is in favor of it. But I think it's good. But I don't think it's going to change much because it depends on who's counting the votes, even if we all get to participate in the primaries.
Yeah, and no, you're right. This is the lesson out of this election. Until we get answers to questions like, were Trump votes really taken from him in these two states, according to the county level data that apparently it was? You saw that reflected on the CNN actual television feed of Trump losing votes. That doesn't happen. Until we fix that question, until we get answer to the question of why did, according to Steve Trout, why did the IT department do a security update 8 minutes before the machines started, quote unquote, counting in Oregon? Until we do that, Kathy, nobody's going to believe it. Nobody's going to believe that any election is secure, as far as I'm concerned. I won't.
So since we didn't use that federal money to update our software back in whatever it was, 2006, whatever it was, would that have included our voting software?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they didn't do it. They wanted the old software.
Well, perhaps, you know, the old system is highly hackable. I mean, that's what Steve Trout said in his memo. I mean, it is Windows 2008. Here we are in 2021. I mean, it's just stunning that this stuff gets swept under the rug and nobody gets held accountable for it. Nobody got fired for not implementing the money. Same thing with the unemployment department. Had all that money all this time and everybody got hurt. Nobody got held accountable. Nobody's been fired for it. This is what leadership is about. And as long as you've got weak leadership in the form of Kate Brown, well, it's not weak. It's very political. Because you wouldn't want to hold any union people accountable because then you don't get big contributions. Linda, thanks for the riots. Charlie Kirk email. And Rich, sorry I didn't get to yours about the Secretary of State. Maybe tomorrow. 7:59. Thanks, folks. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. See you tomorrow.